This is Comic Geek Speak, episode 1898, Picard, All Good Things Must Come to an End. And what an end it did come
What
to.
an end.
Now we have to cover 9 and 10 because we did up to 8 last time, I think, right?
Right. I mean, I figured it would be sort of like what they did with the IMAX thing, right? It's like all one big
Oh, I would have
movie.
loved to have seen that.
And I was looking at the city list. I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. No
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. No Philadelphia. Nowhere even close. And even sometimes, like, the theater in Lititz will get some offhanded stuff like that. And I'll go down there to see stuff. Nope, nothing.
So, if you listen to our last episode on Picard, that was episode 1895. We had just seen episode 8, but we basically talked about the whole season 3 of Picard and gave our
Yep.
thoughts on, what we wanted for these last two episodes. And now it is 2 weeks, 2 weeks, right? After,
Might only be a week.
might only be, I don't even remember where we're at
I mean,
anymore.
I've watched episode 10 now like 4 times since it aired.
I know.
I even started it the other night and I'm just like, I'm just gonna watch the beginning and I'm gonna watch the end. I'm gonna skip every nope, I watched the whole hour and 2 minutes.
So we're going to talk about 9 and 10, but I'm sure we're really just going to talk about,
Yeah, the whole thing.
the whole thing. Yeah, it has only been a week. What's so interesting is that it's getting rave reviews, right? Like people are just, the critics are raving about it.
Yeah.
Fans are raving about it. There's sort of like this people getting really ignited about the future, obviously, but also about the show itself. Things are coming out like more and more Starship, little
Oh yeah.
statics and things
Little
like that.
references and
Right.
things. Yeah.
All of the designers on the show, especially on their Twitter feeds or Instagram, they're putting out constant pictures of ships and explanations of why they did this and why they did that, the construction of the Enterprise D set. Like it's been, and like you said, you've watched it 4 times. I guess I've watched it probably 3 or 4 times as well, but it's rare that I continuously think about something like this once it's over. It's rare we get we get there's hype, but like I'm constantly thinking about it.
Yeah.
Or and then I went back and watched it all in preparation for episode 10 and took notes and saw how it
Okay.
built. And like I think that's the other beauty of this season. It's not just a really damn good season. You can go back and you will see a whole new other
Yeah.
show because now you know everything.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it just starts to come out. Oh, here's the changeling plans. Here's really what's going on. Oh, it's all there. It's
And
all there.
there's little things that Jack did too that they point out, like he's fiddling with something in the bar in the holodeck, and it turns out to be the symbol of the receiver. He's the transmitter, and he's making the receiver symbol that they
Right.
show on this. I'm like, my God,
Right.
like,
I didn't even catch that. I just saw it was a red straw, so I thought it kind of tied into the tendrils, the vines,
yep.
right? Yeah. But that's
He
fantastic.
fashions it into that little diamond, and I thought it was what he was, but then I watched episode 9 again today, and you saw the part where Geordi and Data are talking, and on the screen, they're showing the correlation is like he's the transmitter, and then the receiver is that little
That
diamond
is.
symbol pulling the sound. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep. And
There's a.
that's something we talked about in
Yeah.
the that was the one piece that we still really hadn't seen
Yep.
that was in the outro. Like, what is that? What does that mean?
There's so many little Easter eggs. For anybody that is a fan of Star Trek in general, that there are a couple, and I don't have them written down. I probably should have. There's one in particular that I was watching every episode after every episode, that goes over everything or every possible correlation to Star Trek, like down to where the music comes from, where the sound effect comes from, like where they pulled all this from. And it's really informative. It was really neat. It's a couple things I didn't catch. Most of it I did,
Right.
but I can't tell you how many times I've watched all the Star Trek stuff over and over and over again. So,
Right.
and a good half of it, I've listened to it while I'm doing other things. So I'm to the point, just like Star Wars in a lot of ways, I don't need to watch a lot of it. I just listen to it. Like, especially Star Trek 2, 3, and 4, that I just can hear, I can see everything because I've seen it so many times. And I enjoy it. I mean, that's my comfort noise. That's my background music.
So obviously we're going to go in depth, so if you haven't seen it, tough luck.
Yeah.
Let's just talk generally, based on our discussion of like what we talked about in terms of like what we wanted to see and all that other stuff, or just however you want to talk about it. 9 and 10, what were your general thought? Like, just what'd
I
you
was very satisfied, very exciting, kind of on the edge of my seats at a couple parts, because I thought, "Ooh, okay, that doesn't sound too good," but it turned out really good in the end. And they even answered one of my questions through 8 and 9. Well, no, 9 through 9. From 9 to 10, towards the end of 10, they answer one of my questions that I'll talk about later that I really had a little bit of a problem with. It wouldn't have ruined anything for me, but I was just wondering something, and I'm glad that they answered it without even searching. It was part of the show.
Nice.
I was disappointed that there was no extraneous Deep Space Nine character coming in. Like we talked about, since you're talking about issues with transporters, I really thought they were going to bring Cal Meany in to be
Right.
Chief O'Brien to help fix something.
Right.
And maybe that was a little vignette somewhere, because they went through a few things that they wanted on the show. Janeway was supposed to be on it and a couple other things, and they just couldn't do it. They couldn't afford it, with what they were doing. But I was very satisfied.
I thought 9 was just a fantastic episode all around. Emotionally, structurally, story-wise, so many surprises. And then 10, even if it didn't necessarily give me some of my wild speculations, and I say wild because it's like, you got to realize they got to work within a budget, and they probably can't do the things I wanted to do, but the things they did, I was quite taken with, and I was very happy with. And I almost see those two episodes, 9 and 10, the same way I feel about Infinity War and Endgame. I love Infinity War. Like, Avengers Infinity War to me is the best mainstream superhero movie. Because it's got tension, it's got stakes, it brings in how many years of storytelling, it's got a cast of thousands. And then Endgame, while it ends amazing with the biggest fight you've ever seen on screen, there's a lot of things in Endgame that I skip. There's a lot of moments I skip. The whole time travel stuff doesn't really resonate to me, but Infinity War, I swear, other than a few scenes, I can watch that constantly. And when I watch 9 and 10, and I've now, like you said, I think I've seen Picard 9 and 10 about 3 or 4 times. There's just an amazing story being told in 9, and a buildup. I think I told you I watched episode 9 like right at 3 or 4 in the morning when it dropped. So I was in my bed watching it on my laptop, not the best way to see it, but it to me, I don't care. That like works. I feel very confined. I feel like it's right in front of my face. And the emotional roller coaster from Frontier Day to Shaw and then to the ending of 9. Like, I was in a roller coaster of emotions. And while there were certainly emotional things in 10, it wasn't quite it was more of like this sort of like, here it is, this is everything. It's kind of, in my head I went, oh right, if you're going to reunite the guest stars, and we knew this was going to happen, we knew the Enterprise D, we both speculate, everybody's, we knew it was coming, But I didn't know it was going to come to that degree that it set the ship itself became a character and became a very important part of the story. Like, so I love the 1-2 punch of 9 and 10. I think I prefer 9 more. But we don't even have to talk about, like, it's not even like, who cares, right? Because both of the episodes wrapped up an amazing season.
Yeah, and it really is, those two episodes really are a movie to me more than anything. Just the way they connect and everything. You really could, and I really wish I could see it somewhere together in a theater like that. I think
Oh,
that would be incredible.
that'd be amazing.
I like how when you're talking about the ship itself becoming a character, I am absolutely thrilled that they went back to the original design because the way it was designed in Generations was different.
Right.
And that's sort of
The
what I wonder
bridge,
that
right?
the
Yeah.
bridge, that's sort of what I wonder the line that Riker had was, is this smaller or am I just bigger? Well, in Generations, the last time he was on that bridge, it was bigger because they expanded the sides a little bit. There were stations there. And I like that they went back to the original way that Geordi was restoring it to the way it was.
Right,
That just makes more sense to me.
were you happy? Well, let's go through the big points. Jack's the revelation of Jack.
Okay. I was satisfied with it, but I was just slightly disappointed that it was the Borg again, because we did the Borg during the regular seasons and we did it fairly well. Dissent's a little bit iffy with Data and Lore's 2-episode part in season seven, six and seven. But then you have it in Voyager, which was fairly well done too, in every iteration that you saw them in. Then you had in Generation, in First Contact, which I thought was extremely, that's my favorite Next Generation movie.
Right.
And I think it's most people's. And it's wonderful. But we beat them. Now to have them show up in Picard season one in a little bit of a way, Picard season two in a little bit of a way, and in three, that's the only thing. Like, I get that it's a big part of Picard's life. And it makes complete sense for the story. And by no means am I disappointed in the way the story unfolded. But just for that split second when Deanna opened the door and you saw the cube, I'm like, it really is the Borg. But then you're off on a roller coaster and it's exciting. And I was thrilled and I loved it. So don't take that comment from anybody. Don't take that comment from me saying it was disappointing in any way. It really wasn't. I just thought I would have rather had it been more about the Changelings, the Dominion War, and maybe some other influence of Star Trek, not just the Borg again. But what they did with the Borg, I loved.
Plus, it's almost like not even their fault because they did use it in season one and two. And did they have to? Did they have to use it in season one? Did we have, it's almost, they probably even in the writer's room were like, okay, we got to use it because it, number one, makes the most sense. And yes, we get it. It was in season one and season two, but I really feel like they went out of their way to kind of say, okay, we know, but this is a whole new journey.
And season one was, to me, so much better than season two's version of it. So if you would have had season one and season three, I wouldn't even give it a second thought. But that whole shoehorning in the way they did it for season two, I was like, wah, wah. But
And it wasn't even necessarily part of the story other than having the
no.
War Queen,
Yeah,
and
it was bizarre. And there's some things that I read in articles that make sense for questioning, well, why did they do this then in 9 and 10 when they could have done this because of season 2? And I'll make that comment a little bit later. But I'm glad they didn't because that would have disappointed me if they did what I'm thinking that they could have done.
I mean, I think for all of everybody's guesses, not just ours, but people online, like everybody kind of sussed out that it was going to be part of Picard's DNA passing on to Jack, and like having his syndrome masquerading. And then what I liked about it is Jack's dialogue throughout the entire season really lends itself to the issues that he was having and to having this thing in him about isolation, about feeling like he's alone, or maybe he does need to be with somebody. Or the one converse, oh, that great scene between him and Picard in nine, in the room where Picard finally tells him, and he's saying things like
That's the feelings he always had about connection, speaking with one voice and one
a
way
life
of
of
thinking.
disconnect, seeking a collective. And then he goes, the world wasn't perfect, broken systems, wars, poverty, bigotry. If only people could see, speak in one voice, act in one mind. And this is even before he meets the queen, right? Like, and when you do a rewatch, you notice that this is everywhere. His whole character is built on this notion of he has no idea where he belongs. And he has a scene with Seven of Nine about it. Obviously between him and Beverly and him and Picard. So that to me, plus the lighting on that scene when they're in that room, and that was just a really great, I thought that was a really well acted scene, well written. I love the line that he says to Picard where he's like, "What about the protocols of a father, or were you never issued those?" Like, I was like, "Oh God, so good, so good." And he's like, "What are you gonna do?" He's like, "This is futility," or whatever he says. Like, just was such a good, well-written, dramatic scene that didn't need a lot of like, they didn't need to like move around the set. It was just a father and son talking. Yeah, just so good. Loved all that.
Really, really well done.
Yeah. So, as far as like, yeah, they got to use the Borg again, but the way they went about getting the changelings in, working it into the transporter system, which again, if you go back to early episodes, one of them, somebody even asks, why do the changeling impersonate our transporter chief of all people? Like, I think Shaw asked it or somebody. There you go. Ensign Ro didn't want to use the transporter. She came over in a shuttle. So the transporter thing actually was a part of the narrative for a long time.
And all the while thinking it's just a little one-off, two-off comment about McCoy's, I'm not getting in that damn transporter and have my atoms scattered all over the world. Like just a throwback to the way old Star Trek used to come across in some characters. And that's all you think of it until it actually means something, which it did.
They did that a lot. They did that a lot, but I also feel like they did, like, because I did see some people sort of, I forget what it was about, and they were like, "Oh, that's just a nod to whatever." And it's like, no, I don't think it is. I think they really do. There's two things going on. Like, there's the nostalgia thing, but then flipping it on its head. Hugging Worf. The jokes about Picard's wine, right? Like, all that stuff is like stuff we know, and it's funny and it's nostalgia driven, but it then flips somewhere, like Worf hugging Raffi at the
Raffy,
end.
yeah.
Yeah, like but I really feel like they didn't infuse it with quips and jokes. Like, if this was the Marvel universe, it would be all like quippy and jokey. Ha
Yeah, the
ha,
closest they came was Riker ripping on Worf, but it didn't feel forced. It felt
No.
like that's what it should be. And Riker and him had that banter back in the day, and now they
Yeah.
don't. And Riker's just like, "Well, come on, you used to poke back.
Right.
What's wrong? What happened?"
I actually watched, that was the other great thing about this whole season. It made me watch some older episodes. I watched Relic with
Oh,
Scotty
such a great episode.
because Picard, that's where Picard mentions that he was on, like, he saw a Constitution ship at the Food Museum. So I was like, okay, well, let me just watch it, right? So I watched that. I watched All Good Things. There's a ton of callbacks to All Good Things, obviously. And I also watched First Contact. Like, I was just watching, like, a oh, and I also watched the very first time you saw the Borg.
I bore it's not a Q
Q-Who.
Q who.
Yeah. And which I was surprised that was in the second season. I thought it was in the third season. I was
Nope,
surprised.
second season. That's
Yeah.
early on.
And there are a lot of parallels. There are some callbacks, some that are probably coincidental, because there's only so much you can write about the
Oh,
Borg, before you're repeating yourself. I think the takeaway though is that yes, it was the Borg, but it actually wasn't the Borg. It was just the Queen,
it was
right?
just
Because
the queen. Yeah.
she talks about it. I consumed everybody. There's nobody left.
Yep. She
Yeah.
cannibalized everybody to survive.
Right. And I haven't seen the Voyager stuff yet. I know a few things about that, but I feel like it doesn't negate First Contact. It doesn't
No.
negate the Voyager stuff. And
No, I don't think so either.
Shaw even says in one of the early episodes, he says, "Oh, I don't." When they're talking about the Borg, he's like, "Oh, I don't mean that weird shit that went down
Last season.
last
Yeah.
season.
Yep.
I mean the Borg are still out there, right?"
Yeah.
And so
And
they.
that does make me wonder, okay, so you had all this Borg and all this interaction. There still is probably Borg out there somewhere. I mean, it cannot be just that one
Maybe.
cube. But man, because you look at things once you get into Voyager, you will see some things that just make you think there have to be more out there
Sure.
somewhere. We may never ever see them again, but they gotta be out there. But maybe not.
Yeah, I would hope that they're done. Like, I would hope that
Oh,
even though that's part of Jack's legacy, no more. Okay.
yeah, I don't want him to, if they continue with something, I don't want him to run into them every couple seasons.
I know. Or if they do, it's like an evolution. But really, like, there's just too much dialogue in this one that just made me go, okay, where can we,
Yeah.
just like Next Generation needed to find a new villain, a new big villain, which was the Borg. Can we,
Yeah.
if they're going to continue, can we find something else? That would be nice.
I did like the way they did evolve the Borg and the assimilation into something that was totally unexpected and totally not traceable or in any way, shape, or form. It was just, oh my God, it's too late. And there was nothing to do. It was too late.
Yep. And that again, if you go back to one of his visions, when people are
Yep.
transporting over to the Intrepid, he gets a momentary flash and he sees them. They all have like that red shit in them. There you go. It's the show telling you exactly what's going to happen. As I was
Yeah.
going through it, I was like, oh my God, there it is. This is the biggest clue yet
Yep.
that this is
It was
how it's going to
brilliant.
happen. Yeah.
And especially once, because you saw that, but once you really started to notice his eyes going red and certain things happening, well, now you're like, oh my God, well, that's certainly all connected. Yeah, they did a brilliant job of cluing you in along the way, including the end credit scenes, which again, I read every time right from the first one. I'm like, well, that's cool. That looks like this. That looks. And then as the show kept unfolding, I'm like, oh my God, that's in the credits. So like without even realizing it, they did such a great job of storytelling that you read everything that was happening in the credits, including Seven's oh my God, what do you call it? Her officer profile that Shaw did that was at the very end. That there's a little tiny snippet of that on a computer screen. And it's just for a second. I'm like, I wonder what that's gonna be. And then they pay it off in the end.
Well, think of like those two. Like, they were almost adversarial to each other, especially because of what Seven did. It's,
Yeah.
she allowed Riker and Picard to have that shuttle, blah, blah, blah. And he's constantly on her. He doesn't call her Seven of Nine, even though there are several times that she says in dialogue, either to him or about herself, that her name is Seven. She
Yeah.
keeps saying Seven, and yet he still says
Yep.
Hansen. And even that gets a new notion, because once you see his profile for her and realize that he had said that before this season even started. Now you go
Yep.
back and you're going to watch it, Shaw, with a whole new light. I love that. I love
Yep.
that.
It was brilliant. And for someone who irritated me so badly in the beginning, for when he got shot in episode 9, I mean, I was watching it. I didn't get up that early to watch that episode that time. I think I watched half of it at breakfast and then half of it at lunch. And I saw him getting shot at lunch and I'm sitting there going, I'm like, oh my God. My mouth dropped. I'm like, you what? No. Oh my God, you're kidding me. You're
I
kidding me.
cried.
Get
I
up.
cried.
Get up. Oh, I teared.
I cried. I'm good. Yep.
Get up. Fix him. He's got to. No, he's gonna. And he's no. Come on. And then no. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Especially again because the things he said, like 500 crew members are not worth two old men, and he was constantly about the larger picture. And what did he do? He sacrificed himself for just a handful of people.
Yep, but for the larger picture, for the
But for the
greater
larger,
good.
for the greater good. Yeah, I thought what a character arc he had.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
that's not like, this is where I sort of say to those people who are like, this is all, nostalgia driven. I'm like, no, it's not. There's actually really smart storytelling and character building, and his journey is such good evidence for that.
And you saw even more about how I think he really was when he first met Geordi, when Geordi was going to leave, and he's like all geeking out on him. And Picard and Riker and Seven are like looking at each other, going, "What the hell is this?" That was a brilliant little snippet that didn't even need to be there, but it just gave you a little bit of a clue to really what he was like. And while he really was at first trying to safeguard his ship, as soon as Picard said, "Well, that's my son," oh shit. And then he did what he was supposed to do. And then as it went on, he kept doing that on a bigger and bigger scale all throughout the show until, like you said, he sacrificed himself to try and save everybody, or at least save the people that could save everybody.
When Picard says we have to go to the Sol system, and he's like, they're waiting for us. And Picard says, it's our only option. He's like, of course it is. Let's go. It's so interesting. Star Trek, a lot of times in the movies and certainly in the TV show, they'll introduce someone, and they're part of Federation or whatever, and they kind of resonate, but they don't last long. It's very rare you get a character that's like can exist, and he has the benefit of having been in multiple episodes, but they really did well with the new characters in this season than even some of the prior ones. Like, other than sort of like, I'm biased, but Rios, I thought was a really interesting character, but he was playing off of, like a Han Solo kind of thing. Like a Star Wars thing almost.
But I'm happy with the ending they gave him. I would have loved if he would have made it through and got to the third season somehow, in some way. But I also was glad that we just got a finality to him and knew that he was happy and what happened.
But just he was sort of fully realized. It took a while for me to really like. I think Rafi in this season is fantastic.
Oh, so much better than
So much better.
at least the last season, if not the first one too.
And as much as season one was about, I never really took to Jurati, the character, even though I liked the actor, I don't know. I just didn't take to Jurati. I didn't take to Soji. I don't know. The characters didn't hook me. And here you had characters that hooked me.
Oh, definitely better than the first two seasons. I did like Soji in the first season. I thought it was kind of wasteful the way they did it in the second season with Sung and all that. Jurati, I really liked her in the beginning, but once she killed what's his name,
Maddox.
Maddox, I'm like, all right, well then she's kind of on the outs, but they still embraced her, and I get that to a certain extent, but I'm not sure that they all would have forgiven her the way they did in this universe that we're playing in for Star Trek. And then certainly with what happened in the season two, part of me is glad they didn't go this way, because I think it would have been a cop out, but it also doesn't make sense, because you had them figure out that Jack had Borg in him. You could have just taken him to her and said, "Hey, can you wipe him clean?" And she could have at least looked at him. But I'm glad they didn't do that, because I didn't want them to go back there. Logically speaking, that would have made sense to say, "Well, we'll take you to the Vulcan thing and just have you hang out there while they mind meld you to death." Well, why not just go back to the Borg thing? Because they're out
Well, I'm
there
telling you,
guarding a wormhole.
they did not want anything to do
No.
with season one and two.
No.
Just
And
like
they.
they don't mention Soji to Data. Like, there's just
No.
no conversation about it at all.
No. But there was a plan to have her show up. Again, they couldn't afford that. So, all right. So at least they were thinking about that. I heard nothing about Girardi. And again, like you said, I like the actress, and I liked her better the first season, but that whole second season was weird.
I mean, they didn't even show Laris, Picard's girlfriend. I mean, they
No,
didn't even
at
give
the
her a
end,
wrap
she
up.
was in the very beginning, and I'm
And
like,
that's
well,
it.
are they still together? Because from Laris's perspective at season two, she's for life now with him. Like, she's like dedicated. And I would kind of hope he was too, because I would not like if they just blindly said, "Well, okay, now that I know that I have a son with you, Dr. Crusher, I'm just going to be with you now." Everything else that happened, that would be, I just can't see that being a smart way to write that.
Yeah, and I don't get that feeling at the end that they
I don't
were
either.
together, even though they were. It was sort of just
It
taking your
was,
kid to college, right? Like that's really all that was.
but I wouldn't have minded hearing something about Picard. Well, now I got to get back to Laris.
I
Something.
mean, the only thing is that, that end scene to all those end scenes, where most of them took place a year later. So there's a lot that can happen in
Oh,
that
yeah.
year. We just didn't see it. The showrunner mentioned that the actress, they wanted to do something again, time, money. He said she was probably back in Ireland by that point. So it was unfortunate. There was a small sense in episode one, and again, this is only because of the rewatch, that when Laris finds out that it's Beverly that he has to go after, there's like a small sense of resignation on her part that she knows he's going to do that. She probably knew,
Oh, she knew his history with her, I'm sure.
well, she did because, yeah, she mentions it, but she may have even thought that she was never going to see him again because maybe he would die. Maybe, so there's probably different ways you could tell the ending to that story.
There certainly are.
God, I don't
All
know.
right, so then, okay, so we kind of talked about what happens with Jack and the big reveal in Nine, and you go through that story. One thing that I thought was a little bit out of character once he left was that I'm sure that when he was talking to his father and he turned the guards against his dad and walked out, that makes sense. I'm not so sure he would have turned his back on his mother given how he was with her the entire season up to that point. It makes sense that he still did, but I'm just not sure about that moment where he's like, I'm going to go to her, and when I am close enough to the queen, I'll show her who I really am. Like, if he knows anything about the Borg, he knows that that's near impossible because she would have had something safeguarded already for anybody, especially him, because she wanted him. So I thought it was a little bit naive on his part to just assume that he could get rid of her or do something to stop her when he's the whole point of what she wanted to begin with. And we all knew that. Even the changeling had said that, who the big baddie, I'm going to take you to them because they want you. I could care less about you, but they want you. So that part just it's not bad. It makes perfect sense. But I'm just like, I think he would have hesitated just a little bit more
I
with
mean,
his mom.
in relation to Beverly, sure. I mean, he did have one or two conversations, one very strong one, when Riker was kidnapped. And
Oh,
he
yeah.
said to Picard, "I'm tired of people getting hurt
Sacrificing
because of
themselves for me.
yeah."
Yeah, you're right.
So, between that, the visions, what he learned, you could argue, even though it's not like I saw this in the episode, but you could argue once he figures out who he is, it probably was this
More logical to
slow,
him.
well, this slow sort of process of like that part of him taking over. Like now that Deanna opens it up. He almost like a homing, it was almost sort of like a homing instinct, like he knew exactly where to go once he thought about it.
Yeah, you're right.
But I got that. And it's all drama,
Oh
right?
yeah, yeah.
She's
And again, it
losing her
wasn't bad.
setup and stuff.
Wasn't bad at all. I thought the way that, again, they get to the Sol system and the ship starts being taken over, and then they bring out the Enterprise F, which was cool. Shelby was kind of cool. And I absolutely love because as soon as she started talking about what the ships could do now and why they were all interconnected, the first thing I thought of was, well, hell man, she was fighting against the Borg. What,
I know.
why would she approve something like that? And then to have Riker say it and Picard say it right in the next line of dialogue was awesome.
So we've been talking about this, and everybody has. It's not only a TNG reunion, but you get these great characters that did leave a mark. And then, so you get like the slow rollout of Geordi and Worf, or Worf and Geordi, like blah, 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 blah. But then you get Tuvok and you get Shelby. I thought Shelby was a complete, like, that was such a left field thing, like, of all characters to bring back.
And it did make a little bit of sense to me though, only because I had read a bunch of the Star Trek New Frontier books by
Yeah,
Peter David, which
right.
she's a big part of those as well. As I think she was the first officer for Calhoun on the frontier, which was awesome.
And think about how eager she was to get Riker's job on the Enterprise,
Yeah.
and then she captains the last,
Well, and she's an
hurrah for the
admiral
and she's an
at that
admiral,
point.
right?
Yeah, I thought that was a brilliant addition to it.
That was that Federation Day. Once we got to Federation Day, like after the revelation, and they're talking about Jack, and then we got to not Federation,
Frontier Day.
Frontier Day. I was just like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
First of all, you see this huge ship. I've never seen it before.
No, me
Apparently,
either.
it's a design from online
Okay.
somewhere, like an
I know there's
old
a few
game or
online
something.
games.
To see how big it was, to see all those ships there,
Yeah.
to know what was going to happen, to see ships that I might have recognized. I think from that point on, you got me. Like
Yeah.
I was in it. I was hooked.
And even as they're trying to escape the Titan, they're in the turbo lift and an emergency call comes on the screen in there and you start seeing all the ship names. I paused and started trying to read all the names. You had the Sulu, you had the Cochrane, you had the Intrepid, you had something else. Like all these other names are popping in there. I'm like, oh my God, it's awesome.
And then, like the other totally surprise guest appearance, quote unquote, is at the top of 10, where
Yes.
you get
Oh
the
my
message
God.
from the president, Anton Chekhov, the
Brilliant.
son of Pavel Chekhov.
Pavel. Brilliant. I stopped. So for episode 10, I got up at 5 in the morning. I turned it on the TV in the bedroom and I'm laying in bed watching it. Carlene was away, just happened to be on a business trip at that same time. So I or else I'd have gone downstairs to watch it. But I'm laying in bed and I'm awake, but 100% awake, and I start hearing this. I'm like, wait a minute. And I rewound it and I got out of bed, went to the TV, and I'm like listening. I'm like, oh my God, that's really him. And then when he said the Anton Chekhov, I'm like, oh my God, it's got to be for Anton, the actor who played Chekhov and tragically passed away. I just thought that whole entire dialogue was brilliant. And hearkening back to the voyage home. When the president's warning everyone to stay away because of the whales, just absolutely brilliant.
And that one was, my jaw dropped when I heard him. Like, and that one, sure, fan service, huge fan service, but
Yeah.
such a loving tribute to Anton Yelchin, who
Yep.
was the one who played it in the Abrams movies and who died. And I was trying to think, out of all the TOS era cast members, was Walter Koenig ever on a show before? Was he part of anything like voice? I don't think. Was he on Enterprise at all, or like the
No,
voice, or the
no.
actor, or
He was in the Generations movie with Scotty and Kirk
Well,
on the
right, but
Enterprise B.
that's still during their time.
Yep.
I meant like
But nothing
nothing
past
after,
that.
right?
No, because Sulu showed up in Voyager in like a dream kind of sequence, but so that was still kind of in the Enterprise B Excelsior time, but it was during Voyager and Janeway was there and all that. McCoy was on the first episode of Star Trek. Scotty was on Relics. Spock was on
TNG.
gosh, what were the episodes?
Unification.
Unification 1 and 2. But and Kirk was in Generations.
Nichelle Nichols was the only one who wasn't.
Nichelle Nichols, yeah, was the only one now that was never on anything past that.
So that was great. Like for me, that it made sense. It was a nice callback. It was a loving tribute. Yes, it was absolutely fan service. Probably the most, because even like Shelby makes sense, Tuvok made sense, just
Yeah.
a lot of them sort of made sense. But what a
And
great way to kick off 10.
even so you sort of know what happens to Scotty, of course, because he's on the Relics, and you knew what happened to Spock. And even to that point, you knew what really happened to Spock once the Abrams movies came out. So that still doesn't negate anything that's happening or will happen in this universe. You knew Sulu was on the Excelsior and had a daughter because she was on Generations. You knew that Uhura was doing stuff at the Academy because of the Undiscovered Country. But you never really knew much about what Chekhov did after that, that I can remember.
Right.
He was probably the most downplayed character at the end of Undiscovered Country and in Generations. He still did stuff, don't get me wrong. I loved his part in Generations, and he met Guinan, for heaven's sake. That was awesome.
Right.
But you didn't know if he ever had a family past that, where at least Sulu you knew, and you knew kind of what the others had been through, but him you didn't, you really didn't. So just from that perspective, I thought it was a very nice
Yeah. Oh, there you
introduction.
go. There you go. Yeah, I guess Pavel meeting Guinan, that is the that's a connection.
That's a
That I didn't
connection,
even I forgot about that. That's an
but
odd.
it's
Yeah.
still in
It's
their
still
time,
in
but
their
it's still a
time,
next
but
generation character that he met. And I often wonder, like, I would have loved to have been like a fly on the wall moment scene where she's describing something to Picard and says about how this commander helped her and just mentioned it was Chekhov, and then that would have been cool for us. But I mean, that's total fan service.
So what was your reaction when you finally saw the Enterprise D?
Oh my God, it was awesome. I mean, we talked about it being in that hangar and it made sense. I had no idea it would look that good. I mean, and that was a complete set they built. None of that was CGI, green screen, nothing. They built it from scratch. And when Brent Spiner goes up to his chair, high chair, and shakes it, and, oh wait, are we sure this ship's okay? There's just things that I really hope, I really would hope that when they filmed that, none of them had seen that before. They knew it was going to happen and they knew it was being built, but they couldn't walk on the set. They couldn't see it until the doors opened. And that's when they first saw it, because I think, I can only hope that that's what happened, because it really, and if not, they really did, as great as actors as they are, they really did a great job of being in awe of being on that bridge again.
I just think the all those moments, the lead up to it, I mean, I was fist pumping my, I was
Yeah.
cheering, I got tears again, and it surprised me how excited I was to see it, even though I knew it was coming, because it's not my favorite Starship design,
No, mine either. And I
but
love the E when they showed that in the movies. I really like the way that's designed and the stuff we saw of it.
I guess that's what I that's sort of where I was going to go, because it when I when you when I saw the E for the first time, it wasn't like there was a disappointment, but it kind of reminded me too much of Voyager a little bit, in sort of like the cone design. So there's something about that giant freaking saucer section, as they called it, the fat ship, there's just something about it when I saw it in motion again, what it does in 10. I went back and I went, oh, I guess I really do like this ship. I mean, it's the one I grew up on, so
It really is an awesome, and
surprised
as good
me.
as it, as great as it always looked in the Next Generation, and even in Generations, it looked better just because of the way technology is and the way CGI is and computer animation. It really looked fantastic as it was barreling through space, firing
Oh
stuff
my
and
God.
dodging things, and it was awesome.
Beverly's run, her weapons run,
Oh,
that was so, I can't, that must have looked
brilliant.
so good on the big screen.
And all of that stuff still, going back to these characters growing over the last 30 years in their own history in the show, they still, while they retained what we're familiar with, they grew into their own beings of importance and their own lives of what happened. And Beverly saying, well, a lot's changed in 20 years. Yeah, she's been on the run doing stuff and things that they would have never done back in the day, or maybe they would have, but just not quite the same way. And she had to learn how to fire all the weapons because for a long time it was just her and Jack on a ship. Like, Worf really found an inner peace instead of always being the warrior while still being the warrior. Geordi became a father and really wasn't sure he was going to blindly follow Picard for the 100th time. Data came through and he had gut feelings now. Like, there's just so much. Riker and Deanna, we kind of saw their evolution through the first two seasons a little bit. Especially the first season. So that's okay. I didn't need more from that.
I got some things for Riker and Deanna, but go ahead, finish your
But
thought.
it was all just so well done.
So the 20 years later line, or a lot can happen in 20 years, in All Good Things, after Picard is diagnosed with the syndrome, there's a scene where Beverly goes into his office and they talk and they kiss, and I forget how it leads up, but he even says to her, "A lot can happen in 25 years," and then she repeats it, and I was like, "Oh my God, there it is! Oh my God!" You know, the thing to that I remembered or realized with this season, they are all parents now. They are all parents. Worf had a son. Riker has a son. Dr. Indiana, Beverly, she had it since, you know, the beginning. Geordi now, Data, he created the offspring, Lal, and now, you know, like.
And I rewatched the episode where they found Data in the
Daystrom, in the Daystrom,
satellite, whatever it's called, Daystrom. And I think that they mentioned, I think Sung mentioned Lal as
Yep,
part
he
of him, and
did.
I'm like, oh my God, that's so brilliant.
So I love that. I love that they all, and like Picard was sort of the last one. And that scene, that line that he has when they're in the Borg cube, and he says to Riker, he goes, "I can no longer be your captain." And he's like, "Riker, just thank you." And he breaks down, like, you know, here he is, captain and for and number one, captain and a first officer. They've been friends. They've said they've been brothers, but the emotion in that scene was so good. That was so good.
That was brilliant. I
So,
really thought once they left the ship, once they left the Enterprise,
oh.
I thought somebody either on the Borg cube or on the Enterprise was going to die.
Well, the showrunner said he purposely did that scene, like when Picard is saying goodbye to them, and he turns around and he's like, "You are the," what does he say? Something like, "You're the finest."
It was an honor to serve with you all.
Yeah, right. Like the way he filmed it, Beverly's look on her face, like he wanted us to feel like this could be a very real possibility that none of them could survive. Once Worf says, "Oh, you know, for a moment there, I thought we might actually survive," I was like, "Oh, they're going to be fine. They're totally going to be fine. Nobody's going to die." So the thing with Riker and Deanna, and this goes back to that conversation about like flipping things, running themes or running lines that are constantly brought up or words that are brought up, and then they flip it on the end. This whole, especially the episode where they were captured, and every time he calls her Imzadi throughout the season, she's like, "Oh, you stop, you know, I should have taught you a new word." But what does he say right before he thinks he's gonna die? He's like, "Imzadi, I'm sorry, I'm gonna go be with the sun." And that triggers her. If he hadn't said it, if he hadn't felt that, she never would have sensed him. And I was like, look at that. They just totally made that running joke and flipped it, just like they've done all these other things. And I was like, oh my God, that's so good. And
And I think if you've never read it, I think you should read the first Imzadi novel.
oh, I have it. Yeah, I have it right
It's
underneath my computer.
that's my one of my favorites.
Yeah. So then, as I said, I was watching these older episodes. So I watched the Q Who with the first Borg. And, you know, they're getting bombarded by this thing, and then it shuts down and goes into like repair mode. So they're in the conference room. They finally decide, let's go over and investigate. And Riker's the one who makes the suggestion. And Deanna's sitting right next to him. And she throws this look like she's worried. She's obviously worried because it's Riker. And I heard there's a lot of, if you're watching it on Paramount, they have all these little extra features with, you know, 4 minute clips, 5 minute clips, talking to the actors. And Deanna and Riker and or I should say Jonathan and Marina often talk about, like, in the original series of Next Generation, even though they had a history, the characters had a history, the writers actually wanted to back away from it. And the actors decided upon themselves that they were going to play that they had this history. So there was a lot of scenes where they're like, "Hey, we could actually throw in here that maybe you're worried about me, or we're teasing each other, or whatever." So when I saw that episode in Q Who, I was like, that seems like one of those moments. It probably was not scripted at all, but Marina's like, "Oh my God," or "Deanna, I'm gonna lose Riker." And they have that same look before he leaves in episode 10, where they just show the two of them looking at each other. And obviously it's because of their history and whatever. And I was like, there it is. There's the thing. I was trying to find, there's a lot of, we've talked about this before, there's a lot of duos in the show. Seven and Shaw work together. Raffi and Worf, they're like, they have their thing. Obviously, Picard and Jack. And I was trying to, for the longest time, I was like, well, what is Deanna and Riker's thing? And it was, once I got to it, I was like, oh, it's the Imzadi thing. That's what it is. It all comes down to that. So I was so happy that they gave them that moment because it made that conversation that they had in the prison actually mean more. Because I remember when you and I talked about it, I was like, nah, you know, okay, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And now I went and I was like, oh my God, now I love it. I love
And
it.
Riker always sounds like such a sappy
I
thing,
know.
and Deanna's
I
like, oh
know.
my God, I'm so tired of this, but
Right.
that means the most.
It worked.
Like it was the most important thing he could have said and
Yes.
felt.
Oh, so good. See, that's again, that's why is it the most well-written show ever? No. Is it one of the best Star Trek written shows ever? Absolutely. Because it almost reminds me of like how good, I don't know if you watch like the Watchmen HBO show, but just the way that show unraveled, like you could tell the writer's room wanted to write well. They wanted to knock you over. And what do you think of the, some people don't agree that the Enterprise D could have done the run through the Borg ship.
I have my reservations about that,
But it's awesome.
but it's awesome, and Data drove it on his guts, so
Right.
why not? You
Yeah.
know, I mean, it's a somewhat dilapidated Borg cube, and nobody's upkeeping it, and it's not repairing itself like a normal one would. So, I could kind of see it having those gaps,
Yeah, it's also
and
huge.
it's huge,
Right.
and you really gave Data a reason to convince everyone, hey, I'm still me. But I'm going to be a little bit better because of all of this. Trust me. You've trusted me all these years when I had absolutely no emotion. My gut's telling me I can do it. It's either this or we die. Let me try it.
And the way it moved heavy. Like there, like when it would bank, you could sort of feel like the weight before it would have to take another forward movement. Because somebody was like, it shouldn't move like the Millennium Falcon. I'm like, it didn't move like the Millennium Falcon. I thought
Wasn't
it
quite
moved.
on a dime like that, but
Yeah, you know.
yeah.
So
And it moved better than what it probably should have, but again, you're having Data drive it, which I don't care that he's mostly humanoid now with real skin and stuff. He's still Data, and he still has all this other influences all
yeah.
in him now.
And I've always wanted to see the Enterprise do that. But any of the major stars, you really didn't get it until you got like the Defiant, you know, or.
You had the battle bridge part of it when it would separate from the saucer, do it a little bit, but it
Yeah.
wasn't quite the same. To see the whole thing do it, it meant a little bit more.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I was all for it. I didn't care.
I was too.
And Geordi even makes a comment about the Titan, you know, where he's like, oh, you know, it feels like it's held together with a lot of tape, but he said he does call it like a modern marvel of, I don't know, speed and
Duct tape
technology or
engine,
something like
yeah,
that.
and holding together with duct tape or something like that,
Yeah.
yeah.
But he makes it sound like the ship is
Pretty
highly
advanced,
advanced. Yeah. So, you know, so that the Enterprise could do it too, I was all for it. I was like, look, I just wanted to see the damn thing do something for once. And we get two different things that it does, the weapons thing and the Borg thing. Three, if you count the way it slid in above everybody and before it captured
Which
them.
was even more far-fetched, but I still loved it.
I
It was still
loved
cool to
it.
see.
Oh, come on.
Now,
So
the
good.
neatest effect I think that happened with the Enterprise not only was when Beverly was firing the weapons, but when the Borg cube explodes, there's this fire trail coming out, and then you just and it rushes right past you inside the shields protect. Like it just
Yeah.
looked cool.
So good. I mean, it's almost like imagine the Next Generation show now, like what you could do, you know. We were so amazed by half the stuff they did back then. And for the first few seasons, it was still model work before they got to CGI, you know. And look how much they could do, you know. Let's see. What else? Anything else? Where can we go next?
Okay, we're in the Borg cube. I love the little vignette that you got of Worf and Riker finding the node, getting the schematics, sending them over to the Enterprise, two Borg who are kind of there, not dilapidated, guarding the node and kind of fight them. And Worf gets a little bit hurt. And then he says to Riker, the sword, and he goes to pick it up. It's like, shit, I didn't know it was this heavy. And then all the time, Worf has a phaser inside of it. I thought that was kind of cool too. Like, even though he is a warrior and really prefers the Bat'leths and all that, he still has something just in case he needs it. And he is getting older, so he's got a phaser tucked away in there.
He was such an we talked about this last time. I feel like so many of these characters, the actors are really the ones that are coming through. And I felt that a lot with Marina Sirtis, but I feel that with Michael Dorn too. Like he even said it in one of the interviews. He was like, I was all gung-ho to come back and do the season. And then he goes, halfway through, you go, oh, damn, this makeup. I gotta wear this makeup again, right? So him falling asleep on
Oh
the
my
Enterprise
God.
D.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
How grumpy he was when they were like, let's play cards. And he's like, oh, like, is that Worf? Yes. Is it Michael Dorn? Yes.
Yeah.
When you see him do interviews, you're like,
Yeah.
yeah, this is all Michael Dorn.
I think he, in the one interview I saw, they figured out he's worn that makeup 1,000 times
Wow.
in all of his 200, 300 episodes he's been on.
Wow.
1,000 times coming on and off. I loved that they got Alice Krieg to do the voice of the Borg Queen again. That was cool because you could have had plenty of other people just fumble into that, but it meant more that it was her. I figured it wasn't her in the makeup, but it was certainly her in the voice. I liked how they had Jack wear almost a duplicate of Picard's Locutus with the patch in the eye and the beam. That all made sense. Oddly enough, as emotional as some things made me throughout the whole series, but especially those last two shows, this was awesomely done, but I didn't tear up at this like I normally would have. When Picard goes into the collective and he's talking to Jack, I thought it was incredibly sweet. And normally I cannot figure out, I've watched it, like I said, 3 or 4 times now, and I still haven't teared up from it. But when he finally says, well, then I'll just stay here until the end. And I love that, but it made me smile more than get emotional. And that's kind of odd for me. Usually I would smile but tear up a little bit. And I didn't. I was just excited because I thought, ah, oh, that's going to do it. That's going to snap Jack out of it. And then they show this little montage and boom, he's out. And it was wonderful.
I like the mo I actually thought the montage that did actually affect me a little bit. More, I think, because we're so used to Picard being in that situation, so it feels like it's from Picard's point of view, and that we're supposed to focus on Picard, and we were, but this whole notion of Jack being alone, and then his father hugs him, and then he starts thinking about his family, what he can have. Like, I think that's the part that got me, is that it was like if I p would have put myself in Jack's shoes in that moment, it meant something. And I think it would have been great to have a little bit more of Jack in that. I mean, we got it in the beginning where he's like, this is everything I wanted, this is where I belong, blah, 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 blah. It would have been interesting for him to have a post Vox moment, the way Picard had, he had a whole episode devoted to,
The
him
family.
having to get over. And because we were near the end of the episode, they don't have enough time because he was such an integral part for 9 episodes. And then he's not really that major in 10. He is, but we don't get to see the actor do a lot as Vox, other than just the voice things, So maybe that would have spoke a little bit to what you're talking about. Like maybe that's what you missed. But I even was like, oh, can we? I would have liked just a little more of him and Picard talking about what just happened, but
I did think it was neat. So when Picard hugs him, and again, I this could be just me reading into it more. I really think he hugs him, and then there's a split second where he grabs him harder, and you just see him bury his head into Jack a little bit more, and then they cut to the montage. And whether it was intentional or just the way the scene played out, it seems like it meant more to Picard at that split second. Like, you knew what he was going to do that whole time, but Jack now knew. after everything he'd been through, after going to the bar and seeing his father, even though his father didn't know who he was, and saying, asking the question, you know, well, hey, what about your family? And Picard being so Starfleet about it and kind of disappointing Jack, I'm sure, at that moment, really meant something to him. And Picard saying, like, you've changed my life forever. Like, that's just all incredible.
Yeah, that's a good connection, because Picard, I forgot about, like, he said Starfleet was the only family he needed, but what he says to Jack, you were the part I never knew I was missing.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's a great connection there. Yeah.
And almost angrily at Beverly for taking that choice away from him for me a little bit. Not that it ruins any of the show or anything, but I kind of agree with Picard getting really mad at her earlier in the season, because now, especially all that she stole from him. I mean, if she wouldn't have, the whole show would have played differently, but just for the Picard's sake, from his perspective, I would have been a little bit bitter myself too. I can understand that.
She also has they really do. All the characters have just some really great journeys. And one of the things I noticed in the rewatch is when she's talking to the Trill doctor on the Titan.
Yep.
The doctor is being real dismissive. She's like telling Beverly, get away, get away.
Get away, get out of the way.
Then they do the autopsy, and the doctor is like right there next to Beverly, like almost like she's a nurse, like was Nurse Ogawa. Like she's like saying, oh, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. So I liked that you saw eventually that this doctor is like, no, this is Beverly Crusher.
I mean, you know.
And then for her to become head of medical, where she's been away from Starfleet for such a long time, like spoke to her character as like, even though she's, I think she was even called outdated at one point. I think the doctor.
I think so.
Like
your
that.
Outdated methods or something.
Yeah, right. And now look, you know, she's right up there with Geordi and Data spitting out technobabble.
Yep. Saving the universe.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So to speak to that point, since you brought up Admiral Crusher now, at the end of episode 9, you're seeing everything fall apart and all the younger crew are turning against their elder crew, and you're seeing Shelby get killed, and you're seeing hearing all kinds of things over the speaker. I thought, my God, if everything turned that quickly, you just lost all of your senior people, all the experience, all the knowledge for collectively hundreds and hundreds of years now. Across all of Starfleet.
Right.
How do you recover from that?
Right.
But then they kind of gave me the answer when they're going through, and Admiral Crusher developed a way to pull all the Borg stuff out of people, as well as create a way to detect all the changelings. And in that moment, they also said, while all the changelings did have their marks, they did not kill them all. They sheltered them.
Right.
And I kind of think they sheltered them once they realized what the Borg were going to do. So they're like, well, we kind of didn't want to be part of this. This wasn't part of the game. And safeguarded them because they were protecting them against the Borg. So you didn't lose as much as what I would have first thought. And I'm glad that they threw that in there.
Right.
Just to let you know that not everybody died. And of course, you saw it with Tuvok and stuff.
Right, sure. But they kept him for information, bargaining pieces.
Something.
You know. Maybe
for whatever reason, they didn't kill them.
Maybe they knew the whole thing about the receiving thing wasn't going to affect anybody over a certain age. They might have done that.
Maybe.
And maybe some of those people on the starships, maybe they didn't die. You know, maybe they found a way to escape or hid or something like that. Because that would be crazy. The title is called The Last Generation. You know, like maybe they did wipe out everybody. That would be insane.
Yeah. And you saw on Titan, they did have some people that got to safeguard and get to the bridge with Seven and Raffi and all that. So that's good that there were survivors. I was just a little bit concerned about.
Yeah.
You're really killing everybody?
Yeah.
Holy
people,
cow.
People hiding away in Jeffrey's tubes all over the place, probably.
Yeah.
Or even when the Enterprise D and the Titan come back to Earth and all the ships are just kind of floating there. You know?
Oh, yeah. Like, all the devastated, destroyed.
Yeah. It reminded me of like the end of the Best of Both Worlds episodes, where they were like, you know, a big part of the fleet was decimated, you know.
Yeah.
Riker even says we pretty much could start at Stardate One again
Day
if
one.
We wanted to. Yeah. So this is why we need legacy. We need answers to what happened, What happens next?
Yeah. I also thought, so you go along with thinking about Picard's episode in Next Generation after the Best of Both Worlds family, where he goes back to his brother in the vineyard and all that. And that's a great episode. And then you talk about how maybe in that year, Jack had to go through some stuff because he controlled all of it. He caused all of it in a lot of ways. And then you start thinking about all of the younger Starfleet people that also did all of that. What did they all go through? I do think that there's at least a story to be told there about what did all of these people do after? How did, because there's, I'm sure you had counselors, but what did Deanna feel after everybody came back? There has to be more there that would be interesting to explore, even if it was just Geordi's daughters. Just that small would be something to talk about, because she grabs on to Seven, well, Seven really grabs onto her, and she just loses it.
I thought that
And
was a great moment.
yeah, it was.
And you're right. Like that to me right away, I was like, we know what Picard went through. What did these people go through? Maybe that's a way to do, if they ever get a chance to do another series, you could do flashbacks, you could
Yeah.
do any sort of psychological thing. You could do a whole new story with, even though they were cured, and maybe Jack was cured, although they don't really say. I mean, he probably still has stuff. He
Oh,
could
yeah.
still have resonance,
Sure. Yeah.
That again spoke to the power of the writing, because I really cared for Sydney more than a lot Alondra, but
Yeah. Well, it was definitely written that way too.
She gets
Yeah.
more screen time, but her little Seven, and it's also interesting that it's Seven, right? Because Seven
Yeah.
knows she knows what's up. She knows what that's like,
Yeah.
and she would be very understanding of someone who just went through that. So
Yep.
great little
And
connection.
I also think it for just the time period, we would never see this. But it also takes anybody who ever had any kind of doubt about Picard after he came back from Borg, it now spins them into a different light, because now, for the most part, either they were it or they knew somebody who was it across everything. So you can't just like be prejudiced against Picard because, oh, well, he was a Borg. Yeah, just about everybody was. And you almost lost the whole ball game.
It's almost like what we went through with the corona.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
So what do you think of the Titan being rechristened the Enterprise G?
I kind of figured that would happen. If it wasn't that they had a retro constitution class or whatever they called it, ship be the Enterprise, that they were going to rename the Titan. It just made sense. I mean, I was kind of hoping that when Picard said, you really didn't say what ship you're getting assigned to, I was really hoping was going to be the Enterprise, because that makes sense in your fan servicey side of the show. I was a little surprised they rechristened the Titan, but it also does make sense since Shaw did die and it's now Seven ship. Maybe they asked her, hey, what do you think? And she's like, yeah, let's do this kind of thing.
Something about that, I was like, oh, I guess everybody thought, a lot of people thought it was going to be the Picard, but that would be weird for Jack to be on a ship called the Picard,
Yeah. That was my very first split second. I'm like, man, that's kind of weird. I think that would come after he dies.
Probably some of it had to do with, we just saw the Enterprise F, even though it was being decommissioned,
Yeah.
and we're right away at the G. I
Yeah.
was like, my God, we got there quite fast.
And I'd love to know the story about how the E got blowed up or whatever happened to that, because there's something there.
That'd be fun.
That'd be
And
fun.
there you're right. There is something nice about, I guess they called it the Neo Constitution.
Neocons, that's it.
It's kind of nice that we're back to a smaller, more TOS kind of version of a ship.
Well, and some of that, there was, gosh, there was an article or a video I watched explaining some of that, where, again, going with some of the online gaming side of things and just the history of Star Trek itself, they were short on resources or reusing bits and pieces of different things, and it made sense to do this Neo Constitution class because it was cheaper and more efficient. Not that money's a thing, because Star Trek doesn't have money, but it was more cost effective to repurpose some of this stuff and redesign it. And it did make sense.
But they
And
also explained it in story because the yards were destroyed
yeah.
in the Romulan android attack
Right,
thing.
right, right. That season, the big part of season one, which banned all synths to begin with. So yeah, it does make sense that you'd have something like that. Do I think it was a little bit too easy to do that? Yeah, maybe, but you think also that's a whole year of fixing the Titan because it was pretty well banged up by that point and devastated from everything it had been through. So it does sort of make sense. And I do think it's cool that even if they never do anything else with it, you can say that Seven of Nine was now the captain of the Enterprise G for however long it is, she was.
And someone said that Enterprise is the ninth Enterprise and it's the seventh one with a letter. So it's 7 of 9,
Yeah,
just like she
that's
is.
true.
I was
Yeah,
like, get
wow.
the hell
I didn't
out
think
of
about that.
right, because it's the NX,
Yep.
and they were only talking about Starfleet, like not even Federation. They were talking about like Starfleet ships that were
So not
included,
even including the shuttle, and
right, not including the
that's okay.
shuttle or the circle. It's the NX,
NX,
TOS,
yep.
A,
A,
B,
B.
C, D, E, F, G. That's 9, and then if you just count the letters,
Yeah.
it's 7. 7 of 9.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's cool.
Whether that was a coincidence or not, that's pretty
God, I
amazing.
hope it wasn't.
What do you think she said? What do you
I
think
don't
she said to
know. I
Willow?
really
I
wanted to
can't think of
hear it.
anything else.
I can't either.
It looked like she was going to form the letter R, like the way her lips moved, like it was almost like a. But I was like, okay, roll out? No, that's Transformers. So, like, what is she going to say? I was trying to think, what did
Really
Janeway
fast?
say? I don't know what Janeway
What did
said.
Janeway say? I don't know if she said engage or not. I'd
Yeah.
have to go back and see that.
It's a nice little touch, though. It's a nice way to keep it a
Pike says
secret.
hit it. Picard says engage. I don't really know that Kirk ever had something that he'd say. He would
Yeah.
say clever things like second star to the right kind of stuff.
Yeah, when he was getting whimsical.
Yeah. I don't know. But I hope we find out at some point.
I only have a few other things. The other thing that when I see people say that, and it's only a few people that I see that they're like, oh, it's so nostalgia driven. This is the last TNG is the last crew that Roddenberry touched.
Yeah.
I think I saw an interview where they were talking about how in the first couple of years, obviously there was a big pushback to Next Generation and like
Yeah.
how dare they try to replace the original group. They felt like they were being the original group was still doing movies. And then they said, but then obviously there came a point in season 3 and 4 where obviously the show was better written and it became a success, blah, 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 blah. But then they said, but then eventually we, sometimes even more than the TOS crew, became the bearers, the torchbearers. They were the last crew to be involved with Roddenberry. So their characters are designed because of Roddenberry, right? And all the people. But also, because they are friends outside of the show, they
Yeah.
sometimes feel like that meant more. That started to mean a lot more to fans because obviously the TOS series, they weren't all friends.
Yeah. And as much as I think the DS9 and the Voyager people do get together at times, I don't think it's nearly as close-knit as what the Next Generation cast is. It just doesn't seem like that. Not that anybody's dissatisfied with anybody else, but it just really seems like that TNG cast is so close.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a DS9 reunion show. I don't think it would have the same emotional weight
Not quite. I mean, it would
as
for
this
me
one.
because I do love that show, but for the general populace, I don't think it would.
I think this one really meant something. And then we got to talk about the after credits.
Need to have an extra credit scene because that's part of why I always watch the credits in through the whole show is to see if there's
Sure.
something thrown in, just like any other Marvel movie would do.
Certainly unexpected, I thought.
I was so glad when he died in season 2. Not that I don't dislike him, not nearly as much as Jamie would kick him in the balls whenever he would see him, kind of thing. But really?
Here's the way they could have done it, and it would have been better for me. If this whole show is about generations, if you would have given us a Q that was also the next generation, wasn't
Yeah.
there some thought about Trelane being Q's son or
Or at
Q
least part of
being
the Q.
Trelane's son or something like that,
But
right?
there are some things in Voyager that do speak to that about a family for Q. So what you're proposing makes even more sense
Yeah.
once you watch Voyager.
It would have been interesting if, like, on the ship, Jack meets somebody and just starts talking. And all of a sudden, the guy, whoever it is, the guy, the girl, whatever, just starts talking weird and saying things. And then all of a sudden, they do something like they snap their fingers or whatever. And then you're like, oh, there's a Q on board. Like, that would have been great.
I'll even take you. That's great and would have been perfect as well. But there was also, even if you take the Voyager stuff out of it, which again, people who are listening who have never watched Voyager, I'm sorry, but there is something out there. But there also was that young woman on Next Generation who
Oh,
was a
who also
Q
became Skew?
that he took under his wing at the end of the episode. She could have come back as the Next Generation because that's only been a few years our time.
If you were going to bring Q back, make it the next Q. I sort of was the same way. Like, again, it's kind of their way of disowning season two or
Yeah,
season
yeah.
what episode was he in? Yes, he was in season two.
Season two, yeah. And it does bookend the entire story of Far Escape from Far Point Station or whatever, Encounter at Far Point, all the way to The Last Generation. It does bookend everything.
But I mean, I think All Good Things is the better bookend because, Q was he says to Picard at the end of that, like, oh, you have no idea where you're going. It's not
Yeah.
even about space and time, but it's about the mind. I feel like that then leads you on to the next phase of Next Generation, like the movies and
Sure.
the Picard TV series.
Yeah.
It would have been just a little interesting if it was just slightly tweaked, not the same character, but maybe if you're gonna go the Q route again, which I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
Just a
Because then at
little
that point, I'm like,
different.
oh, we just did the Borg and now you're doing the Q
I know,
again.
I know, I
So
know.
that, yeah, that's, and again, I still enjoyed it and I still
Of
smile at it,
course.
but,
And I certainly loved it because it was almost like, obviously this has to go through all the bigwigs at Paramount, but it's almost like the creators going, there's a question whether you're going to give us another series after this, but we're going to show you why people want it.
Yeah.
Like, not only do we want it because all these characters are amazing, the story is amazing, but look, people are now like, oh, Q's going after Picard's son,
Yeah.
like, come on, that's just
And
awesome.
I know the rumor mill is always about this Phantom Star Trek legacy, which may or may not ever happen. And Terry Metalis has said it, there really is nothing in the works. I agree with you that this now really, with all the chatter online about this, it really shows the muckety mucks that would make these decisions. There is still stories to tell. And something that went from Star Trek The Next Generation, and now your legacy to that makes total sense too, without redoing The Next Generation again.
I don't need that Academy show you want to do because they just talked about that. Like, there's a
Yeah,
Starfleet.
that, ugh.
I don't need that. It has
No.
no connection to anything. Scrap that. Like, I would say take all the money you are now putting in that show, totally get rid of it. Or if anything, blend it into Legacy.
Yeah.
Now do a total course reverse. Just focus on Legacy and put the Academy in it.
Yeah, put the
Then you're
Academy
fine.
as the first couple episodes of a class graduating and all these new people getting assigned to the Enterprise, and maybe even a couple other ships. It doesn't have to focus on just Seven's Enterprise. It can encounter other things. I mean, Legacy does not have to be just that one ship, but I think it would be more interesting to have it across different legacy characters from everything we've watched and have arcs with them, and then maybe build to something, since everybody's movies, TV, comics, everything's building to an end finale or an end point at some point. I think you could do that with this show and just have little arcs of different legacy characters that an underlying thing happens. It's a little predictable given today's current climate, but it makes sense.
I mean, you're
And
gonna Discovery's only around for one more season, so take
yeah.
that money. Take the Academy money. And because Picard certainly proved to us that you could do exactly what you just said. It doesn't all have to be ship focused. I mean, yeah, we were on the Titan a lot, but we got other scenes. Certainly Picard season one was not always on a ship.
No.
So you could give us all the places that we've only heard of, or they could go visit other places that we haven't seen since TOS or TNG. Like, just expand and broaden the whole universe, and bring in, if he's still alive, bring in Walter Koenig as the president, you know,
Yeah,
like,
for a scene or something.
yeah, you know, that'd be great.
And don't get me wrong, I know there are some people that really don't like Discovery. I have enjoyed it on some level every season. The last season wasn't as good as the previous seasons, but I think that's just the cycle of it beginning to end. This last season, it may be better than the previous season. It may not be, but I've enjoyed all of it, especially the first two seasons I thought were brilliant. And then you have Strange New Worlds out there, which is also phenomenal. I agree. Take some of that money and still tell some stories in the Next Generation era, because they're between Lower Decks, which has its serious moments, but is totally comedic on 90% of the level, but still throws in all these Easter eggs and can do so much more because it's all animated. So you can have the Cat Doctor, which you had, weird different aliens on the old
Animated
animated
show,
series.
sure.
You can do so much more with that and cost so much less. Keep that going for a little bit longer, but you could have a more serious show in this Star Trek Legacy thing. And again, with the end of Picard and ever all the chatter and everybody, oh my God, do this, do that, what about this?
I know.
It totally shows you that you could have something. And I agree. For as much as I'd be like, okay, the Academy thing, that might work, and it's set in the 1,000 year future. All right. But now that this happened, yeah, scrap that and turn it into this. Have a 2 episode opening where you see a little bit about what's happening on the Enterprise, and you see a little bit about what's happening at the Academy, and they graduate, get some people in different positions with other legacy characters, and then go off for a season on little arcs that culminate on the end.
I mean, I think it would be a good seller, especially if it's well written. And
Yeah.
I want to see more of Jack. I you
Yeah.
know, we've kind of gone back to, you know, for obvious reasons, we went from Kirk to Picard, then Picard to Sisko, because, you know, they were like, okay, we have a young captain, then an old captain. Now we need a captain of color. Now we need a female
Well,
captain, right? Like,
and even Captain of Color aside, you have a father who's taking care of a kid that happened from a tragedy and on this station, not on a ship, even though the Defiant does help with that a little bit later. And then you have Voyager, and that all makes sense. And then you go back to Enterprise, which again, I loved Enterprise. I actually think they cut that down a season too soon. I think they should have given that one more season to go through instead of cutting it where they did. That last season, I liked the arcs they were going through for the most part. I just think that it would make so much sense.
I just think, and Jack, I just Jack is such an interesting, he's like he's a new character, but he's very much like Picard, but yet he's also very much like Kirk.
Yeah.
He's got Kirk stuff in him, and I just think and he's not the captain, right? Like,
No,
he's the
no.
counselor of all things, special counselor. So he's not even the main
And he's an ensign.
figure.
Like he's low man. And he is, like you said, he's a little bit like Picard, especially young Picard that we learned a little bit about in Tapestry, which involved Q, but the brashness of it, the way he got his artificial heart, like there's a lot of that in Jack that I do think they could have touched on that a little bit more. They did a good job of Jack coming to that point midway through the show of like, well, I got all this from my mom, and you're like, ah, it's a dig against you, Captain. But then he talks about a few other things that he goes, and maybe I got that from you because that's really what I'm seeing here. I think we could have had a little bit of a conversation in 10 forward bar somewhere or in the last year, where he talks about how brash he was and how Jack reminds him of not only maybe the way he was when he first got out of the academy, but also maybe how his nephew Rene was, and talk a little bit about his family in that way to bring Picard as a family into Jack's life a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe not, hey, yeah, you get the winery, blah, 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 but you're a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Rene had such aspirations to go to the stars, and you have that. And that came from the Picards in some fashion. Here's some of what I went through. Like I agree. I see so much of all of this in Jack that I do think it'd be worth exploring.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. So. All right.
Whew.
I think that's enough of
Picard
talk.
That was some good Star Trek talk.
It was some good Star Trek TV.
Oh.
Like I said, it's been a while since I've been that excited about. Not just me, everybody. I mean, it's really become a pretty amazing touchstone culturally, and I'm very happy with what they decided to do.
Yeah, me too. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it. Thanks, everybody.
Sure. Yep. Bye.